Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Captain Hunter's podcast / the L Boogie Show. Just talked to my daughter about that whenever we get that show up and running. I wanted to have it up and running right now, but unfortunately she is unhappy with the logo that we have, so she wants to change that. So until we get that straight, the show will be on pause, but I do want to have it up within the next 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks at the most. Anyway, this is a movie review about the movie Queen and Slim. I believe it was dropped last November 2019, yes. She just got around to seeing it fairly recently as of the release date of this audio podcast. So she's slacking on her pimping, you know what I'm saying? So we got to get her to catch up. So we do have a couple more movie reviews that are going to be coming up. That is going to be Just Mercy, Michael B. Jordan, and Jamie Foxx, along with Bad Boys for Life with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. So be on the lookout for when those movies come out, and we will be doing our own review of those as well. So just one more last thing before we get to the meat of what we're going to be discussing here today. I wanted to talk just quickly about, we're going to be saying the woman's name wrong. She pronounced it Judy. The name of the actress in today's movie is actually Jodie Turner Smith. Jodie Turner Smith. A couple of times we said Judy. We didn't figure out to the end of the episode that it was actually Judy. So it's Jodie Turner Smith is the actress's name who plays Queen in the movie Queen and Slim with her partner Daniel Kaluuya. So that's it, guys. Make sure that you rate, subscribe, and share Captain Hunter's podcast, and be on the lookout for the L Boogie Show when we drop that. Make sure that you rate, subscribe, and share that as well. Remember, you can support the podcast through Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. Also go over to Captain Hunter's podcast, and you can become a Patreon and help support the show. So that's it. Here we go. Here's our movie review.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the L Boogie Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's your boy, Big L. And?
Little L.
She's throwing up the gang signs. What?
Don't say that.
So how's everything?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
How's everything for you?
Pretty good. So you just finished school, right? I was thinking about this today. Are you finished with school? Are you graduating or what?
Yeah, my first 2 years, I got my associate's from Nagatek Valley Community College in social work. So I have to go on.
Is it social work or human services or what is that?
I think it's like human services / social work though.
Okay.
So I would be able to go, like if I went to like a local school like here in Connecticut, like Southern or Eastern or something like that, I could just go straight to the social work program. Now, since we were talking about going out of state, I would have to make sure my credits transfer over. I was talking to my advisor. She said that they should, but we'll see.
We shall see. We gonna see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's good. Congratulations on that.
And thank you.
Okay, so I guess we got to look into 4-year schools now, huh?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So we want to talk about movies here, and you slacking off with the movie watching. You need time. Yeah. So we're going to talk about Queen and Slim today. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about what you think about the international politics. What do you think about the bombing of, do you know anything about the bombing the assassination that took place by our country against
Iran?
This Iranian official.
I don't really know much about foreign policy, which is kind of sad because I just took American government, but. I just took it because it was a requirement, but I do know, we're not supposed to, you know, overdo our force because then we look like a bully and stuff like that. So I feel like we definitely look like a bully for shooting their general or something, because obviously we wouldn't like it if somebody shot our general. So I feel like obviously it is going to start a war or something like that, and it's like, or even bigger war, because I guess obviously the war is already going on, but it's just like what was the purpose of it? Like, just to show that we're big, we could do what we want. Like,
yeah, I'm not too exactly sure as the the reasoning. I think the official reasoning is that this guy was a terrorist, state-sponsored terrorist.
I heard that they attacked us first, like our embassy or something like that.
Yeah.
So if that is
there's some
true,
kind of talking about that.
Yeah, so if they did attack our embassy, and obviously, okay.
There was an attack on our embassy, but I'm not sure. I am not sure if they linked it to him that he called the shot or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, if they did, you know, obviously attack us first and we attacked them back, I guess it makes sense in a way. But if it didn't happen like that, which it probably didn't, you know, they're going to lie and try to make it seem like, oh, no, we only did this because of this.
Yeah, I have not heard any professional analyst who's very well versed in those foreign affairs say that the attack on the embassy of our embassy was directly linked to this guy. Mm-hmm. So whatever. So I'm just curious as to that what you thought about that. So we don't have to bore everyone with the political talks. Like, oh, we tune in to listen to Queen and Slim, not not hear this politics stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, so so let's get to it. So you finally. Yes. Saw it the other day.
And I'm grateful I did because I almost missed it because I think this theater that we went to was like the only theater close to us, like in, you know, I guess not to say Connecticut, but like locally in Waterbury, but we went to Plainville. It was the only theater showing it. So, but anyway, so yeah, it was really good. Like I thought it was like honestly great. Like I think Rotten Tomato gave it like a 80%. I would give it.
Oh, did they?
Like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'd probably give it like a 95.
Okay. So. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I guess in any type of movie like that, I really thought about it. You know, we kind of talked a little bit briefly about it before we decided to record this. But so, and what you said, why didn't I really like it? I guess I get tired of the good guys not winning all the time.
Mm-hmm. But I think we all knew that they weren't going to win in the end. Like, come on now. But
so
I liked the way that they didn't.
Yeah.
When,
yeah. So let's go through it. So Queen and Slim is a movie, a modern day Bonnie and Clyde. You know about Bonnie and Clyde, you know, the bank robbers or bank robbers or train robbers, whatever they were back in the, I think the 1920s or so. They tried to do a movie about on Netflix about the people who hunted them. And it was extremely, extremely boring.
Oh,
I tried to watch. I probably got like 75% through it, and I should probably watch the rest of that particular movie about the people who were chasing Bonnie and Clyde. So I really should watch the last 25% just so I can say I did it, but it was really, really just boring. But anyway, so the modern day Bonnie and Clyde, two outlaws, black people, obviously taking from a little bit of Bonnie and Clyde, the story of two bank robbers, male, female group lovers, mixing it in today's times with the police harassment, police overreach, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so this couple who was out on a first date, they then get pulled over by the police. The police officer oversteps his bounds once again, goes too far, pulls his gun out, and a fight during a motor vehicle stop. The police officer stops these people during for some nonsense, things swerving or whatever it was.
Yeah. And didn't use a turn signal or something like that. And then, yeah, he was swerving.
Right. So because of that, police officer pulls him over and takes him out the car, starts checking her trunk and all this kind of stuff. Now, the woman, a lot of times, the woman, the queen in this movie, would begin to protest. I'm a lawyer, saying this, that, and the other. You can't do what you're doing. She's about to take out her cell phone and start video recording.
It kind of wasn't her fault. She should have just stayed in the car.
Well, see, here's the thing. How long do, and this is the point of the again, another one of the sub points or plots to me in the movie is that how long do black people have to stay silent about their mistreatment?
Mm-hmm. So we or should even just, the guy too. He should have been quiet too.
Well, he was.
He was like, come on, it's cold. Can you hurry up? Like, come on, be quiet.
So we should just take this kind of abuse. I mean, this is the problem that we have, right? Mm-hmm. So there is a side of the population that says, just take it, comply, and then complain later, right? Mm-hmm. Take the abuse, take it all. If you can record, and then complain about it later. Then there's another side of the debate that says, no, we don't have to take this anymore. These people are not, when we do complain, they're not being disciplined. The harassment isn't stopping. and the abuse isn't stopping. So we should so we should begin to fight back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I understand both of those arguments because you want, obviously, you want to comply so you can live to talk about it, right? Go home to your family. Yeah. And then, of course, the other side is, listen, why do we have to take this? You know, we've been dealing with this forever. We know it's harassment, overstep, reach, and all this kind of stuff on certain officers' parts. Now, obviously, this does not apply to every single police officer. And I hope that people, Black people, and other minority and ethnic groups, and even white people will understand that, you know, all police officers are not crooked and all this kind
and
of
crazy. And
I think
they tried to do that later on in the movie, too, with the little boy. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah. So that's the basic premise of the movie. So a fight ensues when the police officer oversteps, pulls out his gun, and then fight ensues, and then he shoots
Queen in her leg.
Shoots Queen in her leg. The guy, Slim, jumps in. What's the guy's name? We should really know these people's real names.
They didn't say it until the end of the movie.
No, they did. They did not. Well, did they?
No, they didn't say it.
Well, I'm Daniel Koyega. I mean, that's the guy. Pull up your phone and see the cast of these people. So we can sound semi-professional as we cast of Queen and Slim.
Judy Turner Smith.
So Judy Turner Smith and Daniel Koyega, who was in Black Panther, and he was in
Get Out,
right? So those are the two main characters and all that kind of stuff. So she gets shot in the leg. He then intervenes and then takes the gun away from the cop and kills the cop. Of course, now they go on the run and they're running for their lives ever since.
Uh-huh.
So that's the modern day aspect of it, a police overreach, being hunted by the law and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your take of it from there?
At first I was like, why are they gonna run? Like, you know, it was an accident. Like, you know, you're basically setting yourself up to die. But I also do understand because Judy, Queen, she was talking about how, what was she talking about? She was talking about how, like, she's a lawyer and then she just had one of her clients go on death row and like, died by like the state. So I guess I understand that. She's like, you're not gonna win this. Like, if we fight it, like, they're gonna kill you and they'll probably kill me too. So then, like, she didn't say that in the movie, but like as I started thinking about it, I was like, okay, that makes sense why they did choose to run.
That was very that point was very surprising to me, that this lawyer didn't trust the system. And I guess she's looking through it.
Point.
Yeah, right. And I was still surprised by it, is mm-hmm. that this lawyer who chose to be a part of the system, right, mm-hmm. as an official of the court, officer of the court, says, I don't trust the very system that I took an oath to and got schooled in and all that kind of stuff. So I guess I was a little surprised at that aspect of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But, you know, technically she's right. If they're still killing people in Ohio, which I don't know, was that like a true statement?
Well, I think that the point is that I think that the producers, directors, and all that, we're trying to make the point that Black people aren't safe on motor vehicle stops. And I think that was the point. I don't think that it's isolated to Ohio that, you know, if you get pulled over by the police, you're going to get killed.
No. I was saying, I was saying, do they have like a death penalty in Ohio? That's what I was saying.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't
know that. Because that's what she was saying, basically, that her client, like, died from the death penalty. And she was basically saying that, like, you know, she didn't believe in that.
Mm.
And so that's why I think she just decided to run, because she was like, they obviously don't care in Ohio.
Well, I think the point is that if you kill a police officer, they're going, the state, the people are going to want revenge enacted against you, you know. So what's your feelings about the death penalty?
I think it's wrong. Yes, okay, if they killed somebody, they do deserve punishment. I'm not saying that. But I don't think the punishment should be to take their life. Like, who are you to take somebody's life? Mm. And who are they to take somebody's life, you know? So I don't think, obviously, two wrongs make a right. Like, you know, not to get all, like, holy, but, like, I think God's the only one that should, you know, do stuff like that. Definitely they should be punished, like, by normal punishment. Like, I think, like, prison. I don't think you should just kill people.
Mm, I understand.
How do you feel about it?
I'm against the death penalty because for a number of reasons. It's not a deterrent, as in people still commit crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the appeal process, it's a colossal waste of money. I don't think that, you know, what happens, you know, it could take 20 years to kill someone, 10, 15 years, probably like 10 years in Texas and Florida to get through the appeal process. But you know, once again, it's not a deterrent. People continue to commit crimes. And even it's not in the back of people's minds not to pull the trigger. If I don't pull this trigger, I'm going to get the death penalty. People still commit crimes because they're in the heat of the moment and all the kind of stuff. Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons why it just doesn't work, right? So I think that, if someone commits a crime, let's just say they're 22, 10 years later, when they're 32, they've had time to reflect and to do all this kind of stuff, and they're not the same person mentally, physically, right, where their brain's maturing and all that kind of stuff. So to exact revenge, and that's exactly what it is in my estimation, it's revenge mm-hmm. years later, is really wrong, you know, in my opinion, my estimation. So for that and a number of other reasons, I just think that it's a colossal waste of time and money and effort and all that kind of stuff. So that's what they want to do. So they go on the run. So back to the movie. So they go on the run. And I thought it was interesting just to show their journey and progression together. Now, that part, I agree, was great. How they begin to know each other. They stop for a romantic dance, even though they're on the run,
mm-hmm.
you know, in his bar. The community is on their side. The community knows who they are. The woman at the bar says this is a safe place and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So, you know, people are helping them. So it shows a real dynamic between the black, you know, between the black community, minority community, and what they think is some type of resistance movement, right? Even mm-hmm. the father of the little boy who got, they stopped to get a burger. They didn't want to go inside to get the burger.
Yeah.
So they sent the little fat little kid to go mm-hmm. get the burger, right?
That part is so funny. I was like, what is happening? He's right. Like, you got my bad knee.
I think I'm the first person
that to say like that was, they were on his side. He was like, nah, don't drive me to the front. They probably got cameras all around here.
Yeah.
And then obviously you saw how they, yeah, everybody had their back. Even the after they went for the dance, after the car broke down, which didn't make no sense either. Okay, the car broke down. And they, you tell me you got away with pushing it all the way back to the mechanic place. But even him, like, he even said, he was like, I don't agree what you guys did. But even he didn't, like, you know, snitch or anything like that. He fixed a car or whatever. But his son made me mad. And I think that was, they were trying to show that in that situation that all police officers aren't bad. Because, you know, that police officer that was telling a little boy to go home. But he's like, listen, I'm not trying to arrest you. Like, just go home. Like, please, just go home or whatever. And then, you know, he shoots him in the face. Like, I think he was just, they were trying to show, like, you know, not all police officers are bad. Some were trying to be on your side. But then again, you, like, I think the little boy, like, you just don't know who to trust or you don't know who to blame. So you just.
Well, I also think that they were trying to show the power of influence in this little kid who doesn't really, probably can't really understand the depth of the resistance, still took up some type of going along with the flow of the crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gets caught up in the hype. And then as a result of that, you know, shoots a police officer in the face, you know? So now he ruins his life.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows that, you know, with all these protests going on, some people may not understand the fullness of what they're exactly protesting. They're just going along to get along, right? Singing along with a rap song and, mm-hmm. you know, so you don't really understand everything that's happening. So.
I think, yeah, because he also was talking about, he was like, I want to be immortal. Now you guys are going to be immortal. Everybody's going to talk about you. So I think, yeah, he definitely didn't have, like, the understanding of, like, you know, why exactly they were doing what they were doing or why they did what they did. And
it also shows that even though people may ascribe stuff to you, that, right, what you think people will ascribe things to you and try to get into your head. So what they did was just like a heat in the moment accident kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But people are saying, yeah, you resisted, you fought back and saying they did all this stuff and they're heroes and all this kind of stuff. Meanwhile, they're like, what are you talking about? It was a mistake. You know, exactly. We wish we weren't in this situation. You know, they were two people who had lives that they could never, you know, fulfill. Remember Daniel Koyega's character wanted to call home so bad, mm-hmm. but he was.
And then he tries to call home, and then he almost told him where he was going. I'm like, okay,
yeah, you don't have
to
do all that. Once again, he didn't understand the depth of it. You know, he misses his family. Mm-hmm. You know, or maybe he did. He was just stupid. I don't know.
But, and then his dad was loyal. He hung up the phone.
Yeah,
I'm surprised he didn't get arrested though.
No, he might have. You know, hindering prosecution or whatever the charge would be, and similar charge, you know, or hiding fugitives or something like that. Mm-hmm. Whatever. He might have got arrested for doing that. So,
but yeah, and even him, like the mechanic, like he could have, like, you know, snitched on them, like, because remember they took that picture while they were there, so he could have been like, okay, this is the car they're in, this is the clothes they had on, because like after he lost his son, he's like, oh, they probably influenced my son to do that. You know, he could have made it like that, but even he didn't do it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, which is curious because he, you know, and that shows another part of the Black community too, that everybody's not in your side. You know, some people really believe in and really have this pro law enforcement, pro police type of view, even though they're members of the Black community. And it, you know, the white community actually, 8 out of 10 people, these are statistics people have taken, 8 out of 10 white people believe in police, believe that they're necessary, that they're good, and all that kind of stuff. And meanwhile, it's 6 out of 10 for Black people, which is what you'd think would be a lot lower, right? Mm-hmm. Because of all the stuff. But a lot of Black people still have a positive view of the police, you know, even with all the media and social media and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that was one of mechanic had a very positive view of them, you know. And so, whatever. So they go on the run, and then they find an ally in the white couple.
Yeah, which I was like, wow, you guys are real loyal. Not the wife, though. She was a little hesitant at first. Yeah.
Well, she never told. No, she never did, told so on them, but loyal. She definitely was hesitant, didn't want them around, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And with good reason, right? Here, the police are, you know, dragging you out your house, searching your house, and all this kind of stuff.
They wouldn't have did that had not Peppermint Patty across the street.
Snitch. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, of course, they're driving around in the most obvious car in the world.
I know. Well, that was the uncle's fault. And what did you think about the uncle?
I thought he was another dynamic. He showed a lot of the dysfunction that I think, you know, I agree with you. It was a good movie, and it showed a lot of different layers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was, I believe, a Gulf War veteran, right? And he was kind of messed up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it showed his post-traumatic stress disorder, even though he was probably doing some crazy illegal stuff with the girls or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he showed that when he started that argument with the girl that, you know, he had some mental problems probably from his
the way he was doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you took my pinky ring. I'm like, why did you have to do that? I didn't know that you were missing a pinky ring.
Yeah.
Like, it was just funny.
Yeah. So.
But I do like what she said, the one with the afro. She was basically like, I forgot what exactly she said, but she basically was like, I have to lift him up because out there he's nothing.
Right.
So
right.
I did like that. Like, you know, it shows that like us as Black women, we have to uplift our men, and vice versa. They should uplift us too, because when you do well in the community, nobody else is really going to do it. Nobody else is going to say like they're proud of you and stuff like that.
So. Yeah. So that's a really good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I thought there were a lot of good points in this movie. Mm.
So then what did you think about the Black police officer when they finally cornered them in that white couple's house? They run outside the back or jump out the window, whatever they did.
Oh, yeah. Had the other police officer not called him, like, boy and all this other stuff, like, right before he went to go look at what happened, maybe he would have, like, said something, who knows? But I do also like what he said when he came back to like the white police officer. He was like, oh, it was a couple of deer and I let them free or something like that. Because it was like deer in headlights, like, oh my goodness, we're caught. But he let them go. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So the black police officer sees them, opens up the garage door, sees the couple trying to start the car. And then, like you said, the deer in the headlights kind of stare at the black police officer, and the black police officer lets him go. And of course, the black police officer then goes back to his white partner, who didn't believe him, and, you know, it was very belittling of him. Now, it's unclear if he belittles him because he was a rookie or younger officer, or if it was a racial thing.
Yeah, it probably was, like, because he was a younger officer. And he also was kind of, like, heavier, like, fat, and he probably was just being lazy. And I'm not going to go look at what it is. So, right. I don't think that part was intentional belittling, but I would say it cost you.
Well, I think it was definitely intentional belittling, but we don't know the reason why.
Yeah.
It could have been one or the other or both, right? So then, of course, we always got the sellout, right? The sellout who sells them out for a what was the price of that?
For both of them.
$250,000?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Wow, okay. It's been a while since I've seen it. Mm-hmm. So $250,000.
For both of them.
So as they get to their location, so this couple is driving all the way from Ohio. They made it all the way down to Louisiana, and now they're in Florida.
That was confusing to me, because I'm like, how'd they get in there? They didn't have no cell phone. They didn't show a map. I'm like, I would be lost.
Well, I mean, you can get to Florida, right? Just 95 south, where we are, just 95 south all the way, right?
Really? So I'm sure. Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, so I'm sure that there's some route or whatever. But you're right, they never showed a map or whatever. But she may have known the way to her uncle's house.
In New Orleans.
Yeah.
And then when they drove to past Savannah, because I guess that's where her mom was buried.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, you should not have known the way. Yeah. But not, I mean, it is what it is. If it is just 95 all the way, then yeah, it makes sense.
That's for us. I'm just giving that as an example, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that there's some place like that for Cleveland all the way down to Texas or something like that. There's some, you know, I don't know. I'm just kind of shooting in the dark here. I don't know. So they get all the way down there, and of course he sells them out, and so now we come to the end of the movie where the couple is about to board the plane, but the sellout there is driving them up, and as soon as they exit the car, and so that's where, I mean, listen, and you're absolutely right that I should have known it was coming. They're not going to let these people get away with that. They get shot. They get killed.
But I like how it showed the guy, the sellout, doing it, because it showed, like, there is some diversity, not diversity. I don't know how to explain it. What's the word? But, like, there's some black people that are not really going to ride for you. They're really going to, like, care about themselves before they care about you. And I think that's wrong. Like, we should all look out for each other. Now, if they were really wrong, and not saying they weren't wrong, they did kill somebody, that is wrong. But, like, what was the purpose? Like, I understand, okay, now you got half a mil, but, like, are you really going to use that to uplift yourself? Are you going to get more grills? Are you going to get out that trailer park?
More grills.
Like,
I got more spinners for my car.
Yeah, exactly. Like, are you going to get out the trailer park, or did you just do that just for nothing? Like, I hope you do that. Like, you did that to uplift yourself. But even so, like, you know, to me, it showed that, like, a lot of black people in this day and age, we don't ride out for each other. We don't support our own people. We don't support black-owned businesses. And, like, you know, like, say somebody opened up a business and they'll be like, oh, like, you know, $25 for this t-shirt. They'll be like, well, give it to me for, like, $10. It's like, no, I swear it's $25. Like, you know, so, like, I feel like, it to me, that's what it showed us. Like, you know, we need to, like, stand up. Because, like, I feel like had that been, like, a Jewish person or, you know, like, Dominican, Puerto Rican, I feel like they ride out for each other. No way they would have snitched on their own people. They would have been like, what? I've never seen that man a day in my life. Like, you know what I mean?
He is over there. Meanwhile, it's us saying he's over there.
Exactly. Yeah. He's over there. I'll drop him off right here and then I can have him. Like, what? Like, it's just messed up to me. So not that I liked it, but, like, you know,
it's definitely something that I hope that people will realize is that, you know, communities have to stick together. Now, we're obviously not saying that, you know, people go out there shooting police officers or shooting anyone, that you shouldn't tell on them.
Yeah.
You know, no matter because they're the same amount of melanin in their skin.
Yes. No, I do agree they were wrong.
Right. Right.
I'm sure he has done worse.
But the problem is we continue to sell each other out. And as you mentioned, yeah. with the refusal to support Black business or the refusal to stand by one another and watch our communities go down is a large part of the problem. And we do it for, like you said, the short buck, the quick cash that isn't going to help anyone, right? You're just going to hoard it to yourself. And that type of individualism, you know, is really problematic and has plagued us since we got here, you know, with, you know, that's why a lot of slave revolts couldn't go anywhere because some dude was snitching, uh-huh. was telling. And if they told and stopped a slave, if a slave told another bunch of slaves and got there, they would get free. Or they would, you know, so it was a way of self-preservation. So they wouldn't have to be enslaved anymore. So that type of way of thinking has obviously traveled down through the ages. And I believe you and I agree with you when you say that it doesn't plague other communities as much as it plagues the Black community, you know, Jewish people, Puerto Rican people, Dominican people. And those are the people that we in our little locale of Waterbury live. But, you know, there's in Minnesota, there's a huge Ethiopian population. I think in St. Louis, Missouri, there's a big Bosnian population. So do these populations who come here, first or second generation immigrants, have the same philosophy? I don't know, you know, as far as sticking together and or ratting each other out. You know? Mm-hmm. So, and this is a problem. This is a problem because we can't get our communities together. In a time we should tell on people, right? If we know who's selling drugs, we won't tell. There is a murder somewhere, we won't tell, in order to fix our communities, you know, so that can be very problematic, very problematic.
Yeah. But I didn't like how they lit them up at the end, like, because like, you know, obviously the white police officer, it was a woman this time, trigger happy, shot them, just standing there. Then Daniel, he lifts her up and starts walking towards them. And then they lit him up too. And it's just like, oh, and then at the end, you know, when they did like the newscast, oh, they were armed and dangerous. He was walking towards you. Even if he was armed, how was he going to get it if he was carrying her with both arms? Mm. So it's just like, you know. Yeah.
So the power of media persuasion, right, to paint the picture. And
exactly, because they probably didn't even show that footage.
I'm sure they didn't. Yeah. They're not going to show people getting gunned down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And that part, that is really sad. And even like the funeral and stuff, it's just sad.
And to the little boy's part that we mentioned, the mechanic son, mm-hmm. we talked about them becoming immortal, right? They were immortal, mm-hmm. right? Now they're going to go down in history. Probably rap songs were written about them. People were painting murals all over different cities.
Yeah, had made t-shirts.
Yeah, so they did become immortal in that respect. Mm-hmm. So in all, I did enjoy the movie. I think it's worth watching. I think, again, as we talked about, you know, the support that we have for each other, you know, I don't know how many people, Black people or any other one else, wants to watch another movie like that. But I definitely think that we should go and support any type of movie that contains a cast like that. And it told the story.
Yeah.
One of my best friends didn't want to see it either. But it told the story. And I think that they did a good job detailing, as we tried to do, the different characters, right? The kid's son, the mechanic's son, the two lead actors, who was the guy who was just scared, the strong woman who didn't trust the system. So they showed a lot of different dynamics. The sellout, the Black police officer. So they showed a lot of different dynamics, and I thought that was well. And even they showed their humanity of just wanting to live, right? Because they wanted to go dancing, right? He just mm-hmm. wanted to have fun. There was another point where the female lead, what was her name again? Do you still have it pulled up?
I think it's Judy
Turner
Smith.
Yeah, Queen. Judy Turner Smith, Queen. She never rode a horse before. So they just
she did. Her uncle used to take her all the time.
Oh, he never rode
a
horse.
He never rode a horse. Oh, okay. So he got on the horse.
Right.
And then
so they just wanted to live,
and
right?
In my head,
and as they're driving, just last point. And as they're driving down the highway, which they had no idea which way they're going because they didn't have maps and all that kind of stuff. Like we said, they didn't have the maps, but they're leaning out the car, just living, enjoying life, right? Mm-hmm. One last time.
Yeah. And I in my head, I'm like, why are you guys doing it? You guys are being mad hot. Like, just keep driving to get to your destination. But I guess it's a good thing they did stop and enjoy life because obviously they end up dying in the end. Mm-hmm. So, like, because, like, even Daniel, I think he never drank before. When they went dancing, he ended up drinking. I don't know if they ever smoked before, but they smoked. Like, you know, so they
I don't think she ever did before. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
They got to do, like, you know, little stuff before they die because, you know, and it's a good thing they did because obviously they got lit up in the end. Like, Cleo.
Like,
I think Cleo was a little better because she was actually shooting back.
Cleo.
Set it off.
Yeah. they're talking about doing a remake of that, right? Yeah. Issa Rae is talking about doing
that. They don't need to do that. Issa Rae needs to pay attention to Insecure. That's all she needs to do. She needs to stop with these other shows, even that photographer movie coming out. I don't want to see that until Insecure comes back on. That's just my personal opinion. I probably will still go see it. I like Issa Rae, but she's playing games with my show, Insecure.
Mm. Now, where did she come from?
I think she was a YouTuber, and okay. She had, like, I think a YouTube channel called Aqua Girl or something like that.
Okay.
And then it just kind of started from there, I guess.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. I never watched, like, her YouTube channel or nothing like that.
Another one that I didn't realize was a YouTuber was Awkwafina, the rapper. Or she did a rap video or something. Like, that's how she got discovered, right? You know who Awkwafina is?
Mm-hmm.
So she's this Asian rapper. And I don't think her raps are very good, but she's got a lot of personality. And she was in that movie Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was kind of the loud over the top one in that movie. And she was also in what's the other movie Awkwafina was in? Oh, the Ocean's 8, the burglary.
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway. So I guess becoming YouTubers can get you somewhere in life.
Yeah, they sure can.
Now, we talked a little bit about Turner's last, what's her name? Judy Turner? Something. Mm-hmm. So she's caught a lot of flack. Jody Turner Smith. Jody Turner Smith. You've been saying it wrong this whole episode.
Sorry.
Come on now. Jody Turner Smith. I guess her Smith, she's been catching a lot of last flack because
her husband's white.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that?
It is what it is. You love who you love. I don't know what you want me to say to that.
Well, I mean, here's a movie. I mean, we just talked about this protagonism. Positivity, positive outlook, black people sticking together, this, that, and the other, right? We make movies about it, and here the actor is married to a white person. And she's not the only one, right? Because the movie Selma, the actor in that who played Martin Luther King, look that up, the cast of Selma, his wife is white.
Oh, is she? I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you look. So this is a trend. Now, I don't have a problem with anyone who marries anyone. You know, free love, marry, you know, do what you want. But a lot of people do bring up the fact that these people are playing in these pro-black movies about support and love for your community and sticking together and this, that, and the other. And then they have a spouse who seems to be on the other side.
Uh-huh.
Of the oppression, right? It's not like, okay, you married to a Mexican or Native American, but you married the very people that some would say that we're fighting against, or some are fighting against. So that's the problem that many people have. So this creates a problem for a lot of people, and that may be why a lot of people do not support these people. So this guy.
That's not a good reason not to support somebody just because they.
I'm just telling
who
you.
They married.
So the guy who played David Oyelowo, was the actor who played Martin Luther King in the movie. So you were saying, and his wife is Jessica Oyelolo. Oh, jeez. I don't know. So you don't think that's a good reason, right? So people just should just marry who they marry and whatever. Uh-huh. Did you see the movie Harriet yet?
No, I haven't.
Jeez.
I don't even think that's even in theaters.
Yeah, I don't think it was. But there was a lot of flack over that particular actress.
What, she's married to somebody?
No, I don't think she's married at all. But she is a British actress. And this whole thing, which I can't stand now, people are saying that, okay, this is an American struggle. And because you're from Britain, you can't play an American actress, American personality, because you're, even though you're of African descent, you're not from America. That's a ridiculous, ridiculous argument.
Uh-huh.
But I do. But the problem with her is that she made a lot of different comments about ghetto Black Americans.
Uh-huh.
You know, making fun of them on Twitter and stuff like that. And I did read a lot of the tweets. I wasn't particularly offended, number one, because I'm not ghetto. I don't think I am anyway.
Uh-huh.
Are you think I'm ghetto?
No,
don't
no.
answer that. And so so this is, you know, here again, we have this problem of not sticking together because you're not, because you're American Black. And that's not the same as being British Black or Caribbean Black or Brazilian Black or African Black, which is, you know, just foolish, you know, just foolish, foolish, foolish. So.
Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't even know that was a thing being, like, said.
Yeah.
But both the actors in Queen and Slim are from Britain.
Oh, yeah, Danny Colega.
Yeah.
Koyega.
Whatever.
Whoever he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Is from, yeah. So I didn't even think
but
about that.
I think
that.
He is, like, African. But I think he was just born in Britain.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people are having problems with these particular actors and stuff. So you didn't see that.
But it would be nice if, you know, Americans could play. But I don't think, like, they necessarily have to.
So the only other upcoming movie, so that's our movie review for the day. So only upcoming movie, well, Police Officers or.
Oh, sorry. One last thing about Queen and Slim. When they were in Kentucky and they got into that guy's car, the sheriff's car,
mm-hmm.
Before they got in there, I was like, dang, I didn't learn from Get Out.
Apparently not.
Yeah, right. But anyway, go ahead.
So the only upcoming movie is Bad Boys. Bad Boys for Life.
Just Mercy with Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
And Michael B. Jordan.
I don't know if I want. I don't know. I just said we got to support these kind of movies. I just said it, so I don't want to seem hypocritical.
Yeah.
But,
why don't you want to see it?
But, you know, because we had movies like that, right? We got two movies here, right? There's, well, one was Mississippi Burning. That was done back in the 80s or 90s or something. And A Time to Kill was another one. These movies about Black people being set up in the South and being on death row is how many times you got to watch the same thing? So,
well, until they stop doing it.
Well, I guess that's the answer. We'll keep making these movies until you stop doing it, right? I guess that's a good answer.
I mean, that's all right. I could think of.
So when does that movie come out? Are you going to see it? Are we going to do a movie review about it or what?
Yeah, sure. I think it comes out, I want to say January 17th or something like that. But let me Google it. Oh, no, the 9th. So I guess, when is that? This Thursday, this Friday.
All right.
But yeah, other than that, I think Bad Boys. And I think Bad Boys comes out January 17th.
I thought it was February, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know when it comes out.
Yeah, January 17th.
Okay, so we'll do. And the other one was the 9th?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have to do the same movie review the same day because we can't keep burning up stuff.
What?
It takes a lot of memory to put this stuff up on the internet.
Oh. Yes, yeah, so I don't think any other movies are really coming out. Will Smith doesn't have that other movie, but it's for kids, Spies in Disguise.
Mm.
Oh, did you hear about Uncut Gems? I heard a lot of people are saying it's good.
One of my best friends went to see. He said it was pretty good too. I didn't really want to see it. Yeah, maybe I will check it out.
I don't really want to see it. What do you think about Dr. Dolittle? They're making a remake with Robert Downey Jr.
I don't really have a problem with it.
I think it's messed up. How are you gonna make
that? Well, Dr. Dolittle, I mean,
I know he's originally white. I don't care. Eddie Murphy did it, and you can't undo that or redo that.
Okay, well, all right. I mean, there's always, a lot of times people have a problem with remakes, but I think that that's a lot of what Hollywood is doing now, right? I mean, essentially, we just did a movie, Queen and Slim was a remake, right? Of something.
Really? Of what?
No, it was a remake of Bonnie and Clyde, you know, with the, even though Bonnie and Clyde was semi-real, I'm sure there's some mythology in there somewhere, but you know, it was a remake of that, coupled with the stuff of today, right? Yeah.
My coworker, she didn't want to see it either. She's like, why would I want to see it if I already know how it's going to end? Which I think, like I said, we all knew how it was going to end. But me personally, I didn't expect it to end like that. Like, I thought, like, a white person was going to snitch or, like, they were just going to be caught up, like, in the street or something like that. I didn't expect a black person to snitch on them. So that part I did like. Like, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I think that they, like I said, I think that they did a really, really good job as far as the different layers and dynamics of what's going on in modern day society. So I would agree with that. Are you looking forward to Black Widow? A lot of people are not, which I'm very, very surprised at. People have been begging for a Black Widow movie. Now we got one and everybody's mad. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people are mad and not looking forward to it.
I don't even know if I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so Avengers.
Yes.
Avengers, right? Black Widow.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry.
Scarlett Johansson. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I forgot that's her character's name.
Yes. So she's making a movie. She's finally got her own movie.
About what, though? Like, I feel like I don't really want to
see
that.
It's like kind of a, see, here's another one. It's a pre-story, right? I think it's supposed to take place, if you're keeping up with the timeline between, I don't even know in the movies, but essentially after Civil War and before, before she goes in hiding or something like that. Right? So I think it's after Civil War, a little bit after Civil War, and she's in hiding and running away and all that kind of stuff. So, and I'm going to show her family, how she became Black Widow.
Well, I guess it kind of will be good, though, because she's kind of like a Salt.
Yes, and that's what a lot of people are comparing it to, Salt. And there was another movie about some Russian spy or something like that.
Yeah, she was in Salt, wasn't she? Oh, no, that was Julia Roberts?
No, it was...
What's her name? One with the big lips. Angelina Jolie?
Angelina Jolie, yeah.
Yeah, and there was another movie like that, like Salt. Dang, why can't I think of it? But yeah, so I guess it will be good. I don't mind those type of movies. Would I say we need it? No. But, I mean, they already did it, so I guess I'll go support it. But, yeah, because she's pretty good, like, even when she, like, fights on her own and stuff like that, so. Yeah, I guess I'll go see it. When is it coming out?
I want to say February or March.
Well, that's pretty soon. No, May 1st.
Oh, okay. I was way off. Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess that'll be pretty good. How do you feel about it?
I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I'm very disappointed that a lot of people are not.
I think because probably we were asking so long and that trilogy is kind of done. So it's like, what's the purpose now?
Yes, I do hear that. They should have really done that before, and now they're trying to keep her legacy alive, but they should have done it before. Yeah, so, and I think it's really only because they saw the success of Wonder Woman, right? Because
I didn't even like Wonder Woman.
Well, I'm just saying that.
Sorry, I did like Wonder Woman. I meant what's the other one? The Bria girl, Captain Marvel.
Yeah. So I think right. So but I think it was really Wonder Woman that people would pay to see a woman superhero, you know, and so that's really what it comes down to is, okay, that was a big hit. Let's do that. Of course, then Captain Marvel is a hit. now these, you know, here's another
one. I think Captain Marvel was only a hit because we needed to know who that was in order to watch Infinity War, in a way. I don't think it was a hit because people really wanted to see it. But Wonder Woman definitely was good. I will give you that. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree with you about Captain Marvel. I don't think, I really was very disappointed in their whole mythology that they did, because now she was coming and overpowered and all that kind of stuff. She was overpowered.
I'm but I don't think she really took over the movie, though.
She didn't take over Endgame, mm-hmm. You're saying. Yeah. Yeah, I agree that she, well, right. But she was way overpowered. She comes through smashing through
ships.
Come on, that just ruined that really ruined the whole movie for me. I mean, mm-hmm. that one scene ruined smashing through ships. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it was kind of.
She was just way overpowered, and even Thanos, what he had the stones on, couldn't. I mean, he had to take a stone off the gauntlet to beat her. Mm-hmm. It's just anyway. I don't want to go full nerd here.
But like, isn't she a part of Infinity Stone? So I guess in a way that makes sense.
I'm not saying that she shouldn't have been strong. I'm not saying that at all. But smashing through ships, and Thanos had the other stones on his hand, and he's still not able to beat this woman. Well, he did take one off and then punch her in the face, mm-hmm. so that he was able to get her. But I didn't like. I mean, I just
yeah.
Because
I guess
like
in
that.
A way, because even Vision, he's full stone, and he couldn't do nothing.
And he got his butt whooped mm-hmm. numerous times throughout the movie.
Like, the whole time.
Yeah. So. I guess that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Much love and peace, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the L Boogie Show. And we'll try to make sure we have these episodes more frequently. We can ever get your picture fixed or whatever we're doing.
Yeah, but I feel.
Okay. Okay, everyone. Take care. Much love and peace.
Bye.